Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Dear viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO. You only live twice, in actual fact. And alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, on our beautiful journey of the soul, we have learnt how Allah azza wa jal will bring us into this world, and our soul will be sent to this world, and then how we will depart from this world by way of body, how we will spend time in the grave, and then towards that final resurrection. But on this journey, and what a beautiful journey it's been, we've learnt so much from our learned scholars, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. It's given us a magnificent insight into the events to come and what we need to prepare for. Now, we heard a lot about where in the journey we were last week in relation to a certain tribe. Before I go into that and give you a quick recap though, there is one beautiful hadith mubarakah that I want to share with you in relation to the blessings of Durood e Pak. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is reported to have said that whoever recites Durood e Pak upon me once, Allah Azza wa Jal sends 10 mercies upon him. Now, let's just think about that for a moment. Just imagine the person, the brother, the sister, who spend their day, whenever they have time, reciting Durood e Pak upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they keep their tongue moist with this. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, in accordance with this hadith and mubarakah, the blessings, the mercies and the barakat keep descending upon them all day. And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, this is why wherever they go, everything works out for them. Why? Because they spend their days and nights praising the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sending Durood e Pak upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam arrives, he deals with Dajjal, Dajjal is no more. Then there is an announcement made that the two tribes of Ya'juj and Ma'juj have been released upon mankind. And then Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam with his followers ascend into the mountains. And then after a time Allah azza wa jal sends a parasite, a disease which comes out of their neck, and Allah Azza wa Jal completely wipes out these people, who by that time are so enormous in number that they are spread all over the earth. And then Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you remember that Shiraz very, very descriptively took us through how when those who follow Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, the Muslims, come down from the mountains, they would see the corpses of Ya'juj and Ma'juj scattered everywhere, and then big birds would come and take them away. And eventually Allah Azza wa Jal sent a beautiful rain, and the rain was almost a disinfectant to clear the earth of the filth of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And then came the time of peace and tranquility. Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, you remember Shiraz Bhai telling us, was going for Hajj Mubarak as well. He was leading the prayers, and Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, a utopia, a beautiful era. And in this era, you will remember, he said that this was the era where there's no sin, there's no disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. And because of that, Alhamdulillah, lions and smaller creatures were playing together. There was no injustice. Now, where do we go from there? The major sign of Ya'juj and Ma'juj has come and gone. Then, Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will marry, have children, and eventually the great Prophet of Allah azza wa jal will leave this world. Hazrat Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala will depart from this world. And then, another great calamity. We know from the glorious Quran that we are given a glimpse of what this is. And that is a smoke. That is something which will really take over where we are, and it will be obvious to everybody. But lots of questions. What is this smoke? Duhan, what is it? What will it do? What will be the impact upon the believers? What will be the impact upon the non-believers? How long will it last? Many, many questions. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we're going to move to that today. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after and what you are after.
So the glorious Quran, 44th chapter, its heading Surah Duhan, the smoke. And in the 10th ayah mubarakah, the glorious ayat of this amazing surah of the Holy Quran, we have, then wait for the day when the sky will bring forth the visible smoke. Allahu Akbar. Habibi, help us with this. We know that Ya'juj and Ma'juj have gone. We know that this beautiful Islamic era was there. And then gradually, as the great Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam departs, Hazrat Imam Mahdi departs, and people are gradually kind of moving back to their old ways, then this smoke comes about. What is it?
So regarding the smoke and the events that come after this, many hadith have come in regards to this, and Surah Duhan as well, as you mentioned, is one of those surah of the Quran which mention this exact faqia, or this story, or this event that will take place of the smoke coming. It's mentioned in one of the books of Imam Yusuf al-Nabhani rahmatullahi ta'ala, who was a very famous saint. He wrote a compilation of a hadith in regards to the qiyamah and the signs of the Day of Judgment, that Sayyidina Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala, and he reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the smoke, it will remain on the earth for 40 days. So this smoke, from what we understand in the narration, that it will remain on the earth for 40 days.
The other thing that I've read as well is, and Shiraz Bhai shared with us as well, alhamdulillah, is that the disbelievers, they obviously are affected by the smoke, but the effect on them is completely different to the believers. So the believers, they get as a calm, you know, they feel ill, but the disbelievers, they get intoxicated as a result of this, inhaling this smoke, and the feeling with the disbelievers is completely different to the ones that the Muslims actually get.
There is a smoke that's described. We know the impact it will have, as you mentioned, as Bisharat Bey mentioned, on the different people. So after the Dajjal and Ya'juj and Ma'juj, we had this utopia, we had this beautiful Islamic era where everything was peaceful again. So things must have gradually gotten to the stage where you have then unbelief and disobedience. Obedience again, as man is left to his own devices. And so at that time, the Muslims are then, in a beautiful way, I suppose, extracted out and left. Okay, so what then happens?
One of the reasons for why that is actually is because there's a narration which is found in Mishkat as well, that the Prophet said that لا تقوم الساعة حتى لا يقال في الأرض Allah, Allah, that there will be the day of Qiyamah will not occur until in the face of the earth there will be people that proclaim Allah, Allah. So until the name of Allah is remained on the earth, then there will be no Qiyamah.
Up until we know the time of the Dajjal, he couldn't even go to Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwarah. But then at the time of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, I suppose that's an interesting question of what will happen to the sacred cities. But thereafter, it would appear that the Holy Kaaba will be fall into different hands, and disbelief will be everywhere.
As we know that in the time of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, when it will be classified as the blissful years, so it will be, you know, like it's mentioned that the lion and the animals will be nice with each other, and there'll be no
the lions problem. And the deers will play together.
Will play together. So when that period happens, after that, slowly, it will degrade back again, and then there will be disbelievers around the world.
And I suppose that this process of this Duhan, will speed up the whole process, because gradually.
Yeah, I was going to say, it mentions that this is like the last sign, and it goes on to say that, you know, in the form of a mysterious wind, it'll be followed by another spell of 40 years. So alhamdulillah, the Muslims will see a reign of 40 years at the time of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, of prosperity, etc. At this time, it'll spell another 40 years, and this will be a period of total disbelief, and there'll be disbelievers everywhere. And the entire earth will be encompassed by disbelievers, and there will be no believer left to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Most High.
So this happens actually quite quickly, because you've got Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam departing from this world, and then you've got this Dukhan which comes and kind of covers everything, and the believers disappear, and then you've got the disbelievers, and very gradually, in the space of about 40 years, disbelief and disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla takes place all over the earth. And
I mean, I just wanted to switch here a little, Harun bhai, because if you look at it in the time we're at now, you know, I was listening to Mufti Sahib's Bayan on the way here just before our silsila started, and you know, Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi Sahib, he was mentioning that you know, it's farz-e kifaya, you know, for the community to have scholars. So this time, you know, we've got this ilm, we've got these scholars, we've got young scholars in our communities, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, and we should be taking full, you know, advantage of this that we've got, because when we're listening to this now, you know, in my heart, you know, it's scary thinking, you know, that, you know, who could be destined at that time, you know, to be amongst the disbelievers. But at this time, Allah Ta'ala has given us, you know, hope within our communities, alhamdulillah, azza wa jalla. We've got the beautiful scholars, we've got the deen of Islam. So obviously, at that time, there will be no ulama.
Allah. And then there is a narration in relation to the Quran disappearing as well, isn't there? So we will, you know, the people on the earth will lose the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and there will be no, I mean, that's, that kind of, in one way, implies that the digital age may disappear as we know it, because a lot of things are available at this moment digitally, but that could disappear as well. And that's quite easy, actually, in the sense that a lot of this digital age is dependent upon what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, I've created within the seven layers of the atmosphere and everything else. So all it would take is one layer to switch off, and you can't pass these satellite signals, you can't do anything else, you can't have, and then the technology that is there is based upon binary codes and everything else, which incidentally the Muslims discovered. But all of this, in a flash, say we lost the satellite.
Grid, if the grid just comes off, that's, the whole world would stop.
One of the signs of the last days that the glorious Quran will be lifted from the earth. And for those who, even at the moment, ignore the rights of the Quran, don't have time for everything else, have time for, you know, their social media accounts, hours on end, have time for newspapers, have time for everything else, don't have time to read the Quran. But even now we are seeing the minor signs. How many Muslims? 1.9 billion now? 1.9 billion Muslims. How many of them are reading the Quran?
How many of them? The Quran is something which is going to be useful for us on the judgment. As we mentioned, that the Quran is that which will intercede, and whose intercession will also be accepted.
SubhanAllah. And we've got a full series on that after this. But just coming back to this, you know, when people don't read the Quran, basically they ignore the rights of the Quran. This is what those last people will do. And this is the bad trait that they have. And because of this, the Quran will be lifted, because there will be nobody obedient. So Dukhan comes, the Muslims are gradually depart from this world and are taken away. And then the disbelievers grow in their corruption, their disobedience and their disbelief, to the extent that there's nobody on the surface of the earth who is doing the zikr of Allah.
I just wanted to mention, now that we've spoken about the Surah Dukhan, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, there's narrations in relation to the excellences of this particular Surah as well. So for, I just share that as well, because alhamdulillah azza wa jal, this is a yadgiri silsila regarding this particular Surah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that whoever recites this Surah, yani Surah Dukhan, in any night, yani any night, even tonight, 70,000 angels will continue to make dua, supplicate for his forgiveness until the morning. And the Prophet ﷺ further says that whoever recites Surah Dukhan, during the night before Friday, yani Thursday night, forgiveness will be granted to him. And further, whoever recites Surah Dukhan during the day or night on Friday, Allah Azza wa Jal will make a house for him in paradise. Yani this is one surah today that we're discussing because of the major signs of judgment. But alhamdulillah, look at one surah of the Holy Quran. And when we look at the seerat of our Buzurgani Deen, in the night they used to, you know, complete the Quran many times. And that is during namaz as well. Yani they used to offer nawafil during the night and recite the Holy Quran. So this is a means of blessings for us. And from these major signs of judgment, what we're learning is that eventually these blessings will be taken away. Today, if our Quran-e-Pak is in the house on a shelf that we're not even looking towards, then we need to turn towards the Quran, take care of that shelf, dust it down if it's got the dust on it, and make a firm intention from today, inshallah, azawajal, I'm going to recite the Holy Quran daily.
If we did an analysis of our weekly tasks and what we did, you spend 8 hours a day sleeping, you spend perhaps 8 hours a day at work 5 days a week, you spend 10-15 hours with family, you've spent 15 hours in front of the television a couple of hours a night, you've spent 15-20 hours on your phone, social media and everything else, you've chilled out with your mates, you've spent time chatting to people on the phone, all these hours you've had, and you've made time for everything else. You ask the same person in the last week, the viewers of Madhi Channel, ask yourself this question: in the last week, how much time have I spent reading the Quran? How much time have I spent reading the Quran? And it gives you a reality check, doesn't it? 168 hours in the week, I think, 24 times 7, and roughly, yeah, 24 times 7, 168, yes, I must have remembered that from somewhere. Out of 168 hours, you didn't take time out of your sleep, you had to sleep. You didn't take time out of your family time, you didn't take time out of the work. But it seems that everything else, there's no compromise on. But when it comes to the glorious Quran, this amazing miracle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the book of Allah azza wa jal, the book that will change your life in this world and give you barakats and blessings and mercies and give you everything you want, the book that will come and light up your grave, the book that will protect you in your grave, the book that will, on the day of resurrection, make sure that you stand up with a beautiful light beaming from you, the book that will argue in the court of Allah azza wa jal on your behalf. Yeah, and make sure that it takes you to Jannah. And today you've got 168 hours to do everything else, and you've not got 12 minutes a day to read 3 verses with translation and with commentary. Hasn't the shaitan deceived us?
People always complain that in namaz we don't get no khushu and khudu. There's no, we don't feel that spirituality in salah. One of the reasons is because we don't know what we're reading. We don't know what we're saying, what words we're uttering. Quran, we read in the salah, what exactly does that mean? Make us have that humility in salah, have that khushu in salah.
What's amazing, sorry, Michelle, you speak to a lot of these youngsters and a lot of professionals, and I don't know what it is, Yar, but they've got this kind of, it's the current thing that's the trend, yeah? I'm learning Spanish, I'm learning German, I'm learning this language, and honestly, I sat there thinking, you've been learning that for 6 months, 3 hours, 4 hours a week. If you spent that time learning Arabic, you could have understood the glorious Quran. The glorious Quran is a great gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's only when one of the problems is when we don't have something, when we lose it, then we appreciate its value. Now, the Dukhan comes, okay, that then after 40 days it disappears. What are the major signs of the Day of Judgment happen during this? And I know that scholars say that there are many, many major signs before the final day, but that there's no specific order given. Is that right?
Yeah, so you'll see that sometimes it's mentioned before, sometimes it's mentioned after. There's some difference of opinion, but that's, you can say, as a general point. Like, for example, the point regarding the sunrise. So that's also another major sign of Qiyamah, where the sun will then rise from the west. And Hafiz Ibn Hajar, this is a very famous scholar who was a commentator of hadith. He was a muhaddith, who was a scholar of hadith. He said that the wisdom of the sun rising from the west is that the door of repentance is closed.
Allah. The whole point, Bishar Bhai, of doing this program and to remind us of the signs of judgment is to give us a reality check of what is happening or what is about to come. Because really, Habibi, for the person who passes away from this world, for him, his judgment has started, hasn't it? In essence, because the Darul Amal, the world of deeds has ended for him, and for him, it's a waiting game. And if he is has been obedient to Allah in this life, if he has been a true devotee of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, then his life will be blissful in the grave. While people are going through all of this on the outside, he will be protected in his grave and he will be having a beautiful time. So you've got this final kind of showdown where after Ya'juj and Ma'juj, you've got Dhabatul Ard differentiating between the believers and non-believers. You've got the smoke, the duha, which comes as well and wipes out the believers, and then you've got the world descending into total ignorance and total lack of obedience and no sense of morality, no sense of a creator. Then will come the time,
the trumpet,
and Hazrat Sayyidina Israfil alayhi salam, he is ready, looking at the Arsh of Allah azza wa jal, waiting for the command to blow this, and that will be blown. That and the four archangels and what will happen thereafter, we will cover inshallah azza wa jal next week. Viewers of Madni Channel, what a fascinating journey. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam leaves us, Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala leaves us, and then we've got the Dabbatul Ard, we've got the believers who are taken away from this world. Disbelief will be everywhere. People will be ignorant, the glorious Quran will disappear after the earthquakes and the other signs that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. This world will be brought to an end. How that will be, how it will exactly happen, what will happen, inshallah, we will discuss next week. Salu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we've been through a beautiful journey. Now our social issue today is a very, very important one because a lot of lives are affected by this. Now let me start with something very interesting. There's a job that we're going to talk about today, which Bishar Bhai very beautifully kind of reminded me of. It's a job that involves a 24-hour duty. 24 hours you have to be there, ready, totally alert. The duties include literally everything and anything. It includes anything you can think of, and there are no holidays, no bonuses, in fact no wages. And yet this is one of the most difficult duties in the world. It's coupled with anxiety, grief, difficulties, and the rewards in this world are sometimes very lacking, in this sense that the people who are the beneficiaries don't appreciate it. This entity, these hastis, always work hard in their duty, but those who benefit from their generosity and their good dealings and their kindness often forget this. Who are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the relationship between the youth of today and parents. As we're young, we appreciate everything our parents do because we can't do it. So as a youngster, you know all the answers are with mum and dad. They're going to provide me everything. If I want something, I just ask for it and I get it. As we get older, we have our own children and we start to appreciate our parents. Alhamdulillah, Allah blesses us to serve our parents with a better understanding. But when you're in that youth, when you're in your prime, when you're in, you know, 14, 15 to 25, 30, that sort of age, that's when problems often occur. Why? Because we don't appreciate this great blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. We don't appreciate what these people that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with, our parents, our mother and father, have done for us. You know, if somebody goes down a street and somebody offers them a cup of tea, Habibay, for years and years and years to come, he will say, that guy's a really kind guy. You know, I went down that street, I was walking down, he invited me into his shop or into his house and he gave me a cup of tea. You know, he's a great guy. And yet our parents serve us from the point we're born to even when we're, you know, 40, 50, yeah? They're always looking after us. And yet not once do we thank Allah Azza wa Jalla for this great blessing. Not once do we show our appreciation. So today we wanted to concentrate on that relationship between our youth and parents and identify some of the problems and then try and suggest what in your minds should our youth be thinking and how we can solve this problem. Habibay, what rights do we, you know, what rights do our parents have over us?
I think as a Muslim, the first and foremost point of guidance that people take is the Quran itself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Isra, verse 23 and 24, your Lord has ordained that you do not worship anyone except Him and treat your parents with kindness. If either of them or both of them reach old age in your presence, do not say uff Allah to them, and do not refuse them, and speak to them with the utmost respect, and lower your wing humbly for them with mercy, and pray that my Lord have mercy on them both the way they nurtured me when I was young. So from this we can understand that the importance of parents has been mentioned straight after worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that do not worship anyone except Him and be good to your parents. Another point that we can understand from this point is that how we should speak to them. So whenever we speak to them, do not say any bad words. A lot of people, they made objection to this, that in the Quran it says uff. So can I say any other bad words to my parents, or is it just the word uff that I can't say? So then the Mufassirun in their commentary have mentioned that uff here does not just mean that singular word. It includes all types of bad and harmful, or you can say evil speech towards the parents. And even not just speech, things which we are done physically as well. You know, sometimes rolling the eyes.
Allah.
Unfortunately, sometimes even hitting and these kind of things. This includes all of these kind of things. Allah has forbade for a believer to do any of these. And what we should do, is should talk to them with qawlan kareem, nice words.
Okay.
And waqfid lahuma janaha dhulli, and lower for them the wing of mercy. This is an Arabic proverb. What they use is in regards to when you want to show mercy to someone, that lower your wings to them. So show goodness to them, show mercy towards them, and say to them, make dua for them, that, O Allah Azza wa Jalla, Rabbi arhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira, that Ya Allah, how they had mercy upon me, how my parents had mercy upon me when I was small, have mercy upon them.
So Bishadabai, what would you say to those youngsters today who say, the old man doesn't understand anything and the old woman doesn't know anything, she keeps nagging?
I'll start off with the hadith mubarak of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, every righteous child who casts a look of mercy and affection upon his parents will be granted for every look of his rewards equivalent to that of an accepted Hajj. If we're looking at him as, you know, old people, technically, you know, we're looking at him not with a glance which is loving or anything like that, we're not getting this reward. But you see, Allah Ta'ala is so merciful that we're looking at our parents, and every time we look, yeah, we get the reward of a maqbool Hajj. You know, ask them Hajjis who go to Hajj, yeah, and how difficult it is to perform that Hajj. But just by having that glance, looking at your parents, you get the reward of an accepted Hajj. And every time you look as well, you know, the ulama have advised that every time you look, you get the same reward. So Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, this is the maqam of parents. But today, this day and age, why do we have that mindset? Why do children have that mindset? A lot of it comes down to tarbiyat. A lot of it comes down to what's passed down. And unfortunately, you know, you've got to look at an example. Like Nigrani Shura is a great, you know, personality that I look up to, and I take a lot of examples. And he in one of his bayans, he hits,
the nail
on the head. And what does he say? He says, he says it directly to the sons in terms of the daughters. And he says, if it was up to the daughters to look after the parents in old age, you wouldn't find any parents in a nursing home or in an old house.
Allah, Allah.
Yeah? And he goes, the reason being is daughters are never like that. But unfortunately, what happens is they go to the sasural and it becomes difficult for them as well. Yeah. But he goes, if it was up to the daughters, you wouldn't find any parents in a care home. So this is like, it's a hurtful statement to the sons that you need to take responsibility. We need to take responsibility of our parents.
You see, one of the major problems today is that our youth of today, when they're at home, they think they're 10 men. Let's be honest about this. You know, outside, my mates can say anything to me. He's a mate, yaar, chalta hai. Doesn't matter. But when it comes to my parents, they cannot even sigh loudly and say, show their dissatisfaction with anything. And I have the authority or the power to, you know, just have a go at them. And because I can get away with it, the youth of today think, oh, it doesn't matter. They won't upset their employer. They won't march into work. And when their supervisor says, why are you 20 seconds late? They say, I'm very sorry. You know, my mistake. And the parents say, beta, ghar late kyun aaya? Who the hell are you? Why are you asking me this? Why?
It's like the slaves.
I know.
A master talking down to his slaves. And but
it's one of the signs of Judgment Day.
Gigi, and Islam doesn't teach us this. Islam teaches us respect. So then it goes to show that we aren't following the teachings of Islam. And what we're doing is we're following the teachings of Shaitan, which is the complete opposite. And this is where that wake-up call needs to come, that at the end of the day, we have to look at it, that on the Day of Judgment, you know, we will have that day where everybody will forget about everybody. But we need to think to ourselves that what is going to be weighty on our scales on the Day of Judgment, what's going to take us into Jannah. And alhamdulillah, looking after our parents is something that's going to be weighty on our scales as well.
But the thing is, that is no doubt true, Bisharat Bhai, but whatever the way you treat your parents in this world dictates your quality of life in this world and your grave. There was a narration, wasn't there, Habibai, where the companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is travelling, time for Asr, and he's coming past a grave, and suddenly the grave opens up, the man in the grave stands up, he's got the head of a donkey, and he hee-haws like a donkey three times, and he goes back into the grave, and the grave closes, and this companion is absolutely mesmerized by the thing. What is this? He's astounded, he's shocked. So he asks the local people, he says, what is this? What is happening here? And they say, this person used to disrespect his mother. And what he used to do is he used to come home intoxicated. And his mother used to tell him, beta, this is not the way of Islam, this is not the right thing to do. And he used to say to his mother, stop hee-hawing like a donkey, you're always going at it. And he passes away in that state, and now at Asr time every day, his grave opens, and he comes out in this form, and he hee-haws, and this is going to continue to be his punishment. Now, a lot of us might be astounded by that, and say, oh, no, that's bad, no. What do we say to our parents? Or, you are going on, the old man doesn't know what he's doing, you're just nagging at me again and everything else. Okay, it's a slightly different words, but the same impact, the same feeling, the same thing you're doing. You are breaking the heart of the very people who fed you, you know, who showed you how to walk, who showed you, you know, these are the people, today you're mouthing it away as a youngster, you know, you're 16, 17, 20, whatever. Who taught you to talk?
I mean,
who taught you to talk though? You're using this language, you're using your tongue to hurt these people. Who actually gave you? Allah Azza wa Jal granted you the ability to talk, but who taught you? Who did Allah Azza wa Jal send as a vasila, as a way of teaching you how to talk? So the very people who've shown you how to talk, when you go outside in the world, you have this beautiful tongue that you use in a beautiful way, and everybody thinks, so he can talk, yeah, and he can entertain the lads. But when you come home, how dare you pounce upon the people that are should be the center of your life? And this is what the youth do today. Sorry.
I mean, the narration in terms of you're on the religion of your friends, you know, the Prophet ﷺ stated, so when we look at it from this point of view nowadays, it's like my boys are everything, my friends are everything. You know, I'll trust them. You know, even though you might even incur losses as a result of your friendship. You know, instances where you're being ripped off from your friends and things like that. But what happens? It comes back to that job description that you stated at the beginning, which is you'll come back and who will you turn to in times of difficulty? You turn towards your parents. Even the boys who end up in prison, you know, and you know, there's nobody coming to see them.
Nobody comes to see, just the poor parents.
And eventually, and those parents in old age as well, you know.
Worse still. Sorry, I'm interrupting you. And in, not only in prison, in hospitals as well.
Allah Akbar.
That's another thing that Dawat Islami is doing. Dawat Islami's Muballighs up and down the country. They go into the prisons to try and help these young offenders rehabilitate, and Alhamdulillah, give them hope as well. And mashallah, that's a great service that Dawat Islami is providing. And mashallah, may Allah reward you for that. And it's one thing that our youth need to wake up to today, that the two most important people in your life are your parents. Now, I'm going to come back to a different angle, Habib Abishad, because sometimes what youngsters do, they say, "Oh, but my parents, they were difficult, they did this, they did that," and all that, you know. There's one example where somebody I know, he said, "Look, I've had a dispute with my father, right? I had a dispute with my father, and we've fallen out, we've not talked for a few weeks or a few months." So I said, "You know, you've not talked to your own father, why, you know, what happened?" So he said, "Look, my father needed some money in Pakistan. I sent X thousand pounds to him in Pakistan. It made this many lakh rupiah. And then a few years down the line, when he gave it me back," and father's from here as well, but he was in Pakistan at the time. "When he gave it back, he said, 'Well, you gave me X lakh rupiah.' So he sent that back. He translated it back. And it made a difference of about 500 or 700 pounds or 1,000 pounds because of the exchange rate. So he said, 'I said to my dad, I sent you this much, you should be giving me this much back.' And my father said, 'No, no, 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 no.' And so I haven't spoken to my father." Oh my God. I said, "Are you serious?" And I said, "Look, Allah has blessed you. You know, you've got, you earn so many thousands a year. You're one of the best jobs that somebody can understand." He was a very qualified professional brother. I said, "Are you serious?" And he looks at me. So obviously, alhamdulillah, because of the beautiful environment of Dawat Islami, we took him through everything. He got up from there, went straight to his dad's house and said, "Abaji, please forgive me, I've been stupid, and this is the beauty of parents. But you know, I upset you, and I could ask you for forgiveness 20 times, you might think, go away, I don't want to know you anymore." He goes along to his father. Father says, he says, "Abaji, I made a mistake, you give me whatever you want to, and that's it." So he says, "I'm happy with whatever you give me." And guess what the father did? He said, "No, no, beta, you have what you wanted, it doesn't matter." Yeah, and all it is that tension. And a lot of the times, what our youngsters don't understand, is this, that the parents will maybe do things that you don't like. They may say things that you don't like, but that's the test for you. If there was all the time sweet words and always saying the right thing, then where's the test for you?
I mean, some of the things that we need to think about as well is the parents' responsibility as well. And your realistic life examples are like, your son's not working, and you're financially supporting your child. He might not be young, he might be in his 20s, 30s. But your son's doing bad things, might be taking drugs, things like that, which you're fully aware of, even as in some cases. But they're not working, they've not got any money, they're not doing anything else on the side, the parents know it. The parents are giving them this money and, you know, kind of supporting them. So, you know, it comes down to tarbiyat as well. So, you know, at the end of the day, if they're not, you know, if they're doing something which is bad, why are you supporting them? Why are you supporting them in this cause? You know, take away these sort of things that you're giving to them. That's one thing. The other thing is, for example, if parents from a young age aren't nurturing them, aren't giving them time, the parents need to look at the responsibility towards their children, give them their rights from a young age, give them nurturing, give them tarbiyat. And alhamdulillah, azawajal, you know, we've seen the Madani Mahal, we've got Dawat Islami today, and we've got a Mahal where we've got Jamiatul Madinas, Madrasatul Madinas. Give your children to these idare, you know, and see, alhamdulillah, azawajal, we've got our young scholars today, English speaking, who have been brought up in this country, alhamdulillah azawajal, their parents have put them in the Jamiatul Madinah, and today they're scholars of the deen and they know their religion. So tomorrow when you pass away, Yeah, when you pass away, who's going to pray your namaz janazah? Who's going to perform your ghusl? Who's going to do fatiha for you after you've passed away? It's these children. So that in effect is your investment. So if you're not investing in that, then what are you investing in? So it's a wake-up call for the parents as well, those who are going through difficult times. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, attach yourself to this mahal of Dawat Islami and attach your children to it.
And
as well.
You know, there was a brother who had an experience, and his grandparents disagreed with his parents, right, about some issue. And at the time, his parents were living with the grandparents, and the grandparents said, get out. And they'd gone from the UK, it was in Pakistan, and so they threw him out, and they had to go find a place and everything else. And he says that all the way through all of this, my father and my mother said, don't you dare, firstly, get involved in any of this, and don't you dare say anything about your grandparents, because no matter what they do, he says, my father said, they're my parents, they can do whatever they want, and I am happy with what they've done. And even though everybody else was saying, oh, they've done wrong and everything else, this Islamic brother, his father was saying, don't you dare. Nobody can even say that my parents were wrong. Oh, this God. Is, you know, in such a situation. And he says he taught me such a lesson that even if my parents are wrong, I mean, the majority of the time, they may not be, because the youth of today can't see clearly. Let me give you an example. Say your boss is wrong. You had half an hour to do that task. Why didn't you do it? Well, it takes an hour to do it. I don't give a damn. You should have done it in half an hour. Okay. That's what we do, don't we? That's what we do. So the boss can do it. The mates, you sat in the car chilling out, yeah? Why are you 15 minutes late? Oh, yeah, sorry, mistake. Okay, I was getting changed. No, you've made us wait out here. Oh, yeah, mafi de dio. Sorry, yeah? The parents said, beta, why are you home? And they say in a beautiful way as well, beta, why have you come home 15 minutes late? How dare you ask me these questions? So outside, Biggie believer, now you know, he can't open his mouth in front of his boss. He can't say anything to his mate. And yet the only place he seems to be a lion, you know, a shit, is in front of his parents. And you know, what Nigar Shura, again, you know, I'm a big fan of his beyonds as well. He says, you know, he says, you in front of the world, where you should be standing up strong, you're actually a coward. But when it comes to your family and your parents, that's where you're exercising your power. And this is why the whole point of us discussing this today was a wake-up call for the youngsters. Yes, there will be times where parents will do things or say things that we disagree with, but how do we react to that?
It all comes down to what Bashar Bhai said as well, is tarbiyat. A lot of it is to do with how the parents have also brought up the children and what the children have learned from the parents. Well, Sayyidi Amir al-Sunnat, Mawlana Ali Asqadri Sahib, he mentions that when you even talk to a one-year-old child, a baby, even then speak with polite words, up, guessing, you know, up, janab. And this is something that the children, they pick up as well. A lot of the times, unfortunately, the parents, they will speak in a harsh way, and then that is why they will also, the children will also replicate that and speak in a harsh way back as well, because for them they've seen it that, you know, he's speaking harsh to me, I speak harsh to them. So that is also a point for the parents to probably understand as well. But at the same time, as Quran Pak has mentioned, that speak to them in a nice way. So we have to also, in our own ways, try our best to speak to them
in today's lingo. It says sweet talk them.
Sweet talk them, yeah.
You know, we want to sweet talk everybody outside, but the people who the glorious Quran orders us to sweet talk to, we haven't got time for. We know when we go outside, and we do it, don't we? We sweet talk, even when we're sending messages or we're recording messages, we sweet talk. Maska. These are the people actually doing it outside. Sweet talking outside may not earn you reward, but this is one time that sweet talk will guaranteed earn you reward.
I mean, in your youth as well, like just to share with the Madani channel viewers today, in the era of Amirul Mumineen, Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala, there was a pious young man and he was busy worshipping and he passed away. And during the night they performed his ghusl, his funeral, his burial, etc. And in the morning, Amirul Mumineen, Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala, and he finds out about this young man that he passed away. So he goes to the family for Fatiha, to express his condolences. And he says to him, you know, why didn't he inform me that your son had passed away? And they said, oh Amirul Mumineen, it was during the night that he passed away. Therefore, we thought it better not to inform you. And, you know, we dug his grave, performed his janazah, ghusl, etc. And we buried him. So Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala, with his companions, he goes to this young man's grave. So this is something to our youngsters to think about. That today, you know, what's my situation? What am I doing? You know, apart from, I'm disobedient to my parents, you might be thinking it's something minor. What a pious young person is like. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, what the jaza is. So if he's pious, he's good to his parents. He's, you know, he's following the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the jaza is, Hazrat Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he goes to his grave and he calls out and he says, oh so and so, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Holy Quran in Surah Rahman, and he reads out the following verse, translation from Kanzul Iman, and one who fears to stand before his Lord, for him there are two paradises.
Allah, 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 subhanAllah.
And this practicing young man, he replies twice from his grave.
Allah,
what does he say?
Akbar.
He says, Ya Amirul Mumineen radiallahu ta'ala anhu, my Creator Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon me both of these two paradises. So there is a reward at the end of it. You know, your boys, etc., they might be here, you know, whilst it's fun and games, but when times are hard, when times are tough, they're nowhere to be seen, and who's going to be there? It's your parents. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, if you want these two jannats, then worship Allah Azza wa Jal. It goes back to the ayat mubarakah that Habib I read earlier on, which is, you know, worship Allah Azza wa Jal, follow the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, and He's commanding us to worship Him alone, and also to respect our parents.
Rumba, I just want to mention a point here. Sometimes when we're with our boys, and we get a call from our mom, or something happens, you know, he's a mother's boy, he's still a little kid, his mum's calling him, seeing if he's alright and that.
I don't know why, but, sorry to interrupt you, I don't know why people take that as a negative. I always confess that I'm a mother's boy. I think it's a great kind of thing to have, an honour to have. And, you know, my life revolves around my mum, yeah? And I always say openly, I say, look, you know, call me a mummy's boy, because I'm proud to be that. I don't know why they have this stigma attached to it. I'd rather be called a mummy's boy and be obedient to Allah's will, give me the tawfiq to my ammiji, than be called, say, be associated with somebody else, you know. I'm proud of the fact that somebody associates me back to my mother, you know. So if my mates, Musharraf Bey, are going out, and they're staying out till 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, yeah, and their parents are fine with it, but my parents say, no, you've got to be home at 11 o'clock, yeah, and they say, if you're not home for 11 o'clock, you can get your things and pack up and go. Maybe extreme. What do I do?
You have to be patient. And, you know, patience comes as you grow older. I think when we look at youth, we look at teenage kind of years. But as we grow older, we become wiser. And we need to obviously be more patient. Young one, and in a jazbaat one, you get a bit more jazba and you want to do more things and your parents are limiting you. But as you're growing older, you should be kind of growing out of that. But, you know, if your parents are saying stuff to you, you have to look at the reality of it. Why are they saying it to me? This is a parent that's brought me up, nurtured me from a very young age, you know, and, you know, goes back to the job description. They've been working on me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, tirelessly, doing all of these things. And today I'm their technically investment, an investment of hereafter, because even these narrations which say that one of the things that will benefit you after your death is a pious child who will pray for your forgiveness. So if you look at it from that point of view, that, you know, if your parents telling you to leave the house, pack your bags and leave, then surely you've done something, you know, that is very, very bad. Yeah, in order for your parents to be able to say something to you like that. Mm. So, you know, you should be looking at your own actions more than anything and being patient that, you know, if my parents have said something to me, maybe, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier on, I'm thinking too much of it. Go away, pray Lahul Sharif, go away, do wuzu, pray Salah, and go back into the court of your parents, ask for their forgiveness. Yeah, and inshallah azawajal, you will see that shaitan, he only tries it for a period of time. If it doesn't work, inshallah azawajal, Allah Ta'ala's mercy is endless.
And how many times has it happened, even to us, yeah, where the parents have said something, we can't comprehend it, we can't understand it, we don't know why they're saying that, but we've complied with it and afterwards thought, subhanallah, I'm glad that happened, because otherwise, and I'll give you a very beautiful example. Qibla Walidsab was quite strict in the sense that you could only go out at certain times and everything else. And me and my brother, we used to, even in the summer days, we had to be in by a certain time. You know, like when it goes dark at 10 o'clock and people are still out, yeah, we had to be in 8 o'clock, you know. And we used to, and even in the winter nights, like the people used to play, when we were younger, they used to play in the streets and TIG and all that, yeah. Because our times were quite, you know, we didn't have mobile phones and games and all that, yeah. So me and my brother, we used to stand in the window thinking, oh, there's great injustice being committed here. You know, our human rights are being trashed here. I mean, look at all these guys outside. And the park was down the road from our house. And we were thinking, this is the end of the world, yeah? And we have to be in at 8 o'clock and everybody else is chilling out. And this is like the... And that time, alhamdulillah, we used, wisely. And, you know, Qibla Walidsab used to take us through the books and everything else. Now, it's not a coincidence that not only were we saved from a lot of calamities and a lot of difficulties that happened with the local boys, but things like getting into drugs, things like getting into fights, getting arrested and all that, but alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, you know, we both did well academically as well. And at the time, you know, we was like, this is a violation of our human rights. And then years down the line, we think that was the best thing that ever happened to us. And so it may be something that you don't understand, but in time to come, you will look back and say, my parents did something amazing.
You appreciate them whilst they're alive.
Allah.
The ones that are passed away, go and speak to them. You know, how much do you miss your father? How much do you miss your blessed mother? Go and ask them. You know, when times are difficult, who do you think about now? And, you know, these are the times that we'll regret, you know, when they're gone. So these times where we've got both our parents is a blessing. You know, accept that blessing and don't shun it away, because once that blessing is gone, then you'll regret it.
Yeah. It's Allah Azza wa Jal has put the two most important people in our lives. But unfortunately, when we're in that teenage years and the early 20s, we don't appreciate it. A lot of them kind of, they wake up when they're in, you know, in their 30s.
Kids. Yeah.
But they've already kind of, been put their parents through difficulty. It's a very difficult, parenthood is a very difficult job. You know, Sharad Bhai and I are going through it at the moment, and it's kind of a full-time duty. And often, honestly, I sit there and I think, you know, that if I could do half of the job that my parents have done, I would think myself successful, because it's such a tough job. And, you know, I the difficulties we create for them, I mean, life is difficult as it is. And then, you know, so what we would do is we'd appeal to all those youngsters out there that when it comes to your life, put it into context, the two most important people in your life are your parents. And if you appreciate, like Bisharat very beautifully said, that these blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, while they're there, you will reap the rewards. And the scholars write that behind every successful person, there are great parents.
Uh-huh.
And that is the reality of it. Today, if you're a professional, you're doing well, it is your parents. You know, there was one person who was a very famous Natkhon, and he was very, very good. And he said, I am something like, I think it was 50-something. And he said, everything I am today is the dua of my mother and my parents have put me here. Because every time I left home, I was leaving home totally lost in the world, and they were sat at home praying, Ya Allah khair kari. And it brings us back to finish off with the great waqiyah of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, ke Rabb vi kenda Musa sambal kiya jadu sir te na sabra ma hove. You know, Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and the famous narration of his mother having passed away. And so these are, my dear brothers, amazing gifts of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yes, we don't agree with everything they say. Yes, they will say sometimes things that don't make sense. Yes, they will do things that sometimes seem like an injustice or are an injustice. But the command of Allah Azza wa Jal is, you can't even say oof, and you can't say anything that's going to hurt them, and you speak to them in sweet words. Now, the last point. Even if there comes a situation where, say in the heat of the moment, you've said or done something. When it comes to parents, like I said before, these are the most forgiving people in the world. So if you turn to them and just ask for forgiveness, before you've even shed a tear, their tears will be flowing down their cheeks. This is how amazing they are. And so what I would say is, if you have got some sort of difficulty, just go and apologize. Just ask your parents for forgiveness, and then pray two rakat in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and ask Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness. And by the blessings of His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Azza wa Jal increase the love we have for our parents, the tolerance, the patience we have, so that we can truly make them happy. Because as Bisharat Bhai very beautifully said at the beginning, that if your father is happy with you, Allah Azza wa Jal is happy with you, your mother's feet are the door to Jannah, the threshold to get into Jannah, and these are the most important people. Sallu alal Habib Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
A very heart-touching kind of subject. So we've overrun again. I've only got a couple of minutes left. But in our Madni Recharge, we usually have something that puts us back in touch with our real true love. And today, my message is for our Islamic sisters, and generally for all of us as well, that there was an era where mothers were being dragged with ropes around their neck. And they were being taken to the marketplaces after the demise of the father, and they were being sold on the marketplaces. This isn't a long time ago. Then, at the same time, you know, when a daughter was born, they dug a hole and buried her alive. Buried her alive. The glorious Quran says on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will say, you know, why were you buried alive? Allahu Akbar. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam came, and he came to give our mothers, our sisters, our daughters such a beautiful life, that this mother who was being dragged in the marketplace by her own sons and being sold on the market was now sat down, and the sons were gathering around her feet and kissing them. This was the mother that the sons were now fighting over one another to try and please. This was the mother that they saw as their daughter Jannah. This was the mother that in one period was considered, na'uzu billah min zalik, to be a bad omen. And this was the mother who became the center of attention for the whole household. Why? Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed this mother and put her there. And then this daughter who was being buried alive, this daughter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showed the world that this is a great gift and a great mercy and a great blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, to the extent that when Hazrat Fatima to Zahra would walk in, the best of creation, the most amazing, the leader of the prophets would stand up and greet her and would kiss her beloved head and then would sit her on in his place. This was the respect that he gave, and he showed the world. And what did the beautiful companions learn from this? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that whoever has two daughters, and if he brings them up beautifully and marries them off, Allah Azza wa Jal will give him entry into paradise and bless him. And a companion gets up. This is the same people who are burying their daughters alive. And the companion gets up, and you know what he says? He says, Ya Rasulullah, what about that person who only has one daughter? You've given the glad tidings to the one with two daughters. I only have one. What about me? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this applies to you also. Can you see the change of mind? Can you see what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did to this world? How Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took it from the depths of darkness to the beautiful light of Islam. Today, why shouldn't we love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When we're celebrating the Milad, it should be our mothers, our sisters, and our daughters who are leading the way, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's favors upon our mothers, sisters, and our daughters are great. May Allah Azza wa Jal increase the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Lameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember. you are here.